you want to, we're going to be reading in Proverbs today. We was thinking about yesterday about what this day signifies. We know that first and foremost it's the Lord's Day. And this is a day in which men are set apart to honor their mothers. And we was thinking about our mother and the greatest thing that she ever done for us. And that the things that she done for me is no doubt more than what can be said of some mothers. And we begin to think on a particular line. I know that I had great honor for my mother and respect for her. In my later years, there was times that I was disobedient and rebellious, but I knew that my mother was a woman with wisdom. The Bible says, if you would want to turn there, it's in the 9th chapter of Proverbs. It says in the 10th verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." It says here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You know, I don't know why it is, but we listen to a lot of what would be considered Christian radio. And it seems like today that we live in a world that if you say that we are to fear the Lord, that there needs to be, it's impressed on some people that they feel the need to clarify that. What is it, the fearing? We just heard it a few weeks ago that a man made a comment that nobody fears him. Nobody fears God anymore. And the woman that he was speaking to on the radio felt the need to make the clarification that a godly fear is a reverence. And you know, I think that there's not a person that could possibly fear the Lord that would not reverence Him. But you know, I like what the Bible does so many times when it gives us an idea or it gives us a thought to ponder, that it so many times often defines what it is. We know as a kid that we knew that our mother, that she feared the Lord. And that we were, because we were raised in a Christian home and we went to Sunday school, that we knew that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom. It also says in the 8th chapter of Proverbs in the 13th verse, it defines to us what it is to fear the Lord. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." So we know that to fear the Lord is more than to reverence Him. It's more than to acknowledge that God hates evil. It's more than to know that if you're evil, that judgment might fall upon you. To fear the Lord is to know that if you are evil, judgment will fall upon you. But it goes even further than that, that the true fear of God Almighty is to hate evil yourself. And I think today, if there's ever been a generation, we have a generation where church after church after church, there are congregation after congregation, individuals separately that join together, make a body, that they have lost what it is to fear the Lord. You know, when you think in the terms that old Solomon here, through the Holy Spirit, was defining for us what it was to fear the Lord, the Bible says, not simply to fear the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. Elsewhere, I think it's in the 6th chapter of Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. But it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now let us think for a little while. I can remember growing up, we were thinking this week, what was the greatest thing that my mother done for me as a child? We can remember growing up. Now I'm going to try to say this in a way that not bring my mother shame. But my mother, she had a way about her sometimes. I don't know, it was because so much was on her mind that she weren't blood listening. But
see, there'd be sayings that people would have, and she would repeat them, and she wouldn't get them right, just right, and how they would come out. It would be funny. Sometimes somebody would say something, and like I said before, it might have been because there was a lot on her mind, that she didn't clearly understand it. There'd be some that would laugh, but I knew that I had a wise mother, because my mother feared the Lord. My mother not only feared the Lord, but she hated evil. She lived it in front of each and every one of us as kids. I can remember thinking about what was the greatest thing that my mother done for me. I can remember being out in sin and coming. I know y'all get hard of hearing this, but I tell you, I'm here today because my mother hated evil, because she had the wisdom that comes through the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. And I can remember being out in sin and coming into the house and begin to hear my mama pray in the middle of the night. But why did she do that? She done that because she loved her son. Yes, but I want to tell you, she done that because of the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. Everybody is there, because so many times we don't see the end result of it. The Bible says we got others, not a more vivid picture that can be said in one verse. That is said in the 11th chapter of Proverbs, that as a jewel of gold in a swine's mouth, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Don't that give you a picture? I don't care how beautiful that jewel, piece of gold is, it's still in the swine's nose. I can remember looking around when you had a hog or something, or cattle, sometimes, or trying to see of the number of the ear tag in their ear. And as you walk around them, they're circling and they're turning away. And you're trying to see this little small. And it ain't that small. You can see it from pretty far off. But as that cow turns around, it uses all of its body to block that ear tag. Not on purpose, but because it don't know what you're on to look at. And that's the way it is. A woman without discretion. Listen, there might be a beautiful jewel in a hog's nose or a swine's nose, as the Bible says. But guess what? It somehow distracts from the beauty and the fact that it's in a hog's nose. Though it might be beautiful, though it might be a jewel that was in king's palaces, because it's in a hog's nose, somehow it just don't look so pretty. And so it is with a fair woman that lacks discretion. That gives me a picture of just what sin will do for the women. The Bible says as well, if you'd want to turn there, it says in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, in the 17th verse, for the eye of that mocketh at his father, and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. A man at the end of his life. Is there any more vivid picture than to see one lay out there in the wilderness? Where is his loved one? Where is his family? The burying of they're nowhere to be found. Why? Because if you lack the wisdom that God gives to men freely, you'll not fear evil, and evil will become your companion. But just as the old raven that squawks and the eagle that screams, they'll be fighting over your body parts. And not because
that you're of any great value other than you are to try in their attempt to stifle the ever-consuming hunger within them. And they will feed on you. This is the way it is with the things of the devil. The Lord has promised us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. That we can find companionship within the house of God. And just as our mother, when we were out in sin, prayed for us because she loved us. But yet because she also knew what was at the end of a misspent life. For that reason in itself. And that she had walked in the beginnings of wisdom. That she had feared the Lord and that she hated evil. She knew just where evil would take her son. That's the way it is today with everyone in this church that fears the Lord, that hates evil, that when we see someone, as it were, at the edge of a pool of safety, we lift up their name, not because it might reflect poorly on us, not because simply that we love them, but because we know that there are ravens, there are eagles that are in the sky, as it were, or sitting in the tree, waiting to fight over the parts of our children that would lay barren in the wilderness because they despised their father, or they hated their father and despised their mother. But listen to me now. If we can see mothers and fathers, if our children can see that we have the beginnings of wisdom in our life, but we might be simple in the things of this world. They'll have a respect for us that will defy all that the world might say. You know, my grandfather had a second grade education and he didn't talk as it were the Queen's English. But in my eyes, there was not a wiser man. And why is that? Because I knew that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom, and that the Bible, what it says, is true. When it says to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Listen, if you don't hate evil, can't you say you truly fear God? Oh yeah, I'll reverence Him, but that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a fear that old King Solomon instructed his children with. A fear himself, he no doubt lost in his latter days. But yeah, we know that those that fear God hate evil. And why is that? Because it is against everything that God is for. Let us look. Can you say that in your heart? Do you hate pride and arrogance in the evil way and the froward mouth? You know, it's easy a lot of times to hate those things in others. But do we hate them? Do we hate those character traits within ourselves? Now the Lord says He hates them. And so therefore, it should be communicated to us. These are not attributes. And I don't know, that's about a poor choice of word, but these are not personality traits that we should long for, that we should possess. And if we fear the Lord, it is those things that we will shed ourselves from through the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Do you fear the Lord? You know, I thought in my mind, I knew when people would say, oh, to fear the Lord, it's to reverence Him. To fear the Lord for God's people is to reverence Him. After all, He'll do us no harm. But I knew that the fear of the Lord that is spoken of in the Bible was much more than to reverence God. I knew that the devil himself feared God and he trembled, but I didn't think that the Lord wanted us to have, as it were, the same fear for Him that the devil did. But the Bible, and I know I've read this so many a time, but I just thought it was sweet as we was reading it this week, that wisdom, as it says here, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, and I thought, well, Daryl, if you think you lack wisdom, I'm sure that you can focus a little bit on the causes of sin. You know, there is a lot of people today that struggle with sin. And why is it? Because they don't see the repercussions of it. We were talking about it this week at work, me and another fella. You heard about 3 miles from our house. There was a woman that was buried in a shallow grave. And I guess because of who it was, the news report first said that a farmer was out spreading fertilizer. And they seen some clothes, and I think it was some tennis shoes, and he notified officials. But we began to talk to a co-worker of mine that lives a lot closer, and he said, well, he said it was in so-and-so's field. I said, so he's the one that found it? He said, no. It was the company that he hired to spread the fertilizer. And before it was all over with, I heard the last report, though they've come back and they've recanted. But they said that a dog had carried a human bone in its mouth, and that's what caused them to start investigating, and they found the body. And I thought, now wait a minute, it can't be one and then the other. It's got to be one or the other. But then talking amongst some that they was wondering if maybe the man that worked for the fertilizer company, he didn't want no parts of it. He found this dead body, and he didn't want the people that were suspecting harming them knowing it was him. I'm sure maybe the farmer said, wait a minute, I just want the truth to be told. It wasn't the farmer's friend fertilizer that found this body. I don't know, sometimes in an investigation they'll send out, as it were, false information so that when they begin to question the suspects, they'll begin to divulge certain things because so much has been said on the radio, and then they'll say, well, now wait a minute, we didn't release any information on this and this. How come you are to know it? This man supposedly went up with his girlfriend, and they were making all kinds of plans to build a house, but he said they were down along the river on their heads, but she is up on the bluff over in another field across the dirt road, supposedly in a shallow grave. A man at work said they drug the river, and they's looking all up there, and the whole family, there wasn't a one in the whole family that come and help search. Kind of makes you wonder, maybe they weren't searching because they knew right where she was. You know, that's the way a lot of lazy people are. They're so lazy, even if they kill somebody, they won't even bury, they won't even dig a deep enough grave to keep the dogs from digging it up. But I want to tell you, I fear the Lord is to hate evil. And they had the Father on there. One late night, I don't know if you've seen him. He lives down off the 64. And he had a picture of his daughter. This one that was buried in a shallow grave. And he said she was a perfect student. She was an honor roll student until she got about 16. And he said she'd gone drugs. And you could tell he was sore up about it. You know, what can you do? I want to tell you, what we can do, church, is to teach our children the fear of the Lord. Listen, what did we read about the son that would despise his father and his mother, look evil in his eyes, and
as it were. We could read it again. I don't know that it's necessary. But what it said was, the eye that mocketh at his father, and is despised to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. We see the woman on the television, the sister-in-law, the boyfriend, and she said something so odd. He said, yeah, we see the buzzards, and we kind of joke, whether maybe they were eating, they were picking over this woman who had supposedly disappeared. I thought to myself, boy, that's odd. If there was somebody that had disappeared you cared about, it was from my understanding about a rifle shot from their house across the road. You know, when you loved, that I see that father speaking about his daughter, and she truly was a pretty woman, and there she was, strode down in a sad, in a shallow grave, and I don't know what got to her first, if it was the coyotes or the dogs, but just as those ravens look out the eye of the sun that mocketh with his eye, and the eagles devouring, so it was with this woman, that the dogs struck and scattered her bones about. Why? Because if you fear the Lord, you'll hate it. Why? Because you'll see what it brings a person to. We've got some dogs around the house. Oh, every now and then they come dragging in something. They'll kill an armadillo, and they'll bring that in the yard. A lot of times they kill them in the yard and just leave them lay. But then there's times around hunting season, they'll be dragging in some bones. Sometimes in the spring of the year, we've got a neighbor who don't watch his cattle very well, and they'll have a calf die or whatever. But I'm always careful to see. Just maybe it's just cause I'm somewhat curious. I don't know, but when the dogs drag bones in the yard, I always look at them. I want to know whether they're deer or whether they're cattle or what they might be. But they say that there's four brothers who live right down the road, one right after another, and that they said that there were human bones found in the boy, one of the boyfriend's brother's yard, right there, that the dogs had drug up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living amongst people that didn't care no more for you? And you know, we was talking about it at work, and one fella said, well, maybe there was no malice that was spent toward her. Maybe she just overdosed and they got afraid and they thought they'd bury her. But can you imagine being in the company of people that if in fact she even overdosed, they wouldn't spend the energy to dig a deep enough grave? You say, there, what's it matter? What's it matter? She's dead and gone. I know. Her life was as if her life, the last few moments of her life was as the majority of it. Unfortunately, I'm sure she was in that grave, being drug all over the hillside. But we know the Bible teaches us that there is a light beyond the grave. But yet does it not speak who her friends were, whether they would kill her maliciously, or if it was even accidental. Made the comment, I reckon that when you kill somebody in the Rocky Ozarks, there's probably been many a man digging a grave. Wish you were in Iowa or over in Illinois. And we know how hard it might be. But just as the Bible speaks about the blood that cries out from the earth and from the ground, crying out for justice,
if there's been some injustice done. We can look at this passage of Scripture that we read about the eye that mocketh the father and despiseth to obey his mother. Now that's figurative, isn't it? We know that in many a battle, that's exactly what happened. The vultures plucked the flesh from the dead soldiers. That many a time that the death was so great and so few were even left, that battlefields, as it were forsaken. Wherever the battle was, that the bodies were so great, that the people that were nomadic by nature would no longer go to that field, because it was a field of death. And so we know that when Solomon spoke about the sun with an eye that mocked, that he was describing something that had been seen time and time again on the battlefields of that ancient country called Israel. There was fathers and there was mothers. We know that David himself, he went because his father sent him to see how the battle was. And if there was instances in time where a father in his old age was no longer fit to go to battle, and families were spread out. You didn't quit having kids when you got to the magic number of two or three, but the Lord, as it were, was allowed to play in the family. And there was a lot of times that you had brothers that were old enough to be your father. And you had brothers, as it were, young enough to be your child. This was prayed over literally thousands upon thousands of times, where an elderly father stooped over, unable to make the journey, in fear of his son, because harsh words were said. Oh, he just wished he could have put his arms around his son and tell him that he loved him, but that wasn't the words his son were looking for. And his son went off to battle because he was in servitude to the king. But that doesn't keep a father from worrying, does it? We know that the prodigal son, his father gave him what he wanted, because his son refused to take what he needed. And yet he looked off to in the distance every day. No doubt a father stooped with age would tell his youngest son, "Now I want you to be careful. I don't have a good feeling about this. I'm afraid of the spiritual condition of our country. Your brother should have been in returning. I don't know if the harsh words that were said caused him to just leave home, or if there's been some great calamity on the battlefield, and I want you to be careful, my son, for I love you. You would have perished. You are my only one. If I saw the name, but I would go if these legs would take me. To go and to find my boy. But I don't have the strength. Won't you go look? Won't you go search, as it were, to see if he's among the living or the dead? No doubt there'd be some of the young boys go out. Maybe they'd go with a neighbor's boy, and they would feel a little bit more older, feel as if they had a man's job to do, but yet being in fear of what they might find over the next ridge, there it would be long before they would ever see it with their eyes. They'd hear the great calling, as it were, the beast of the field, the fowls of the air, and they had come to devour the flesh of all of these humans at battle, and they would no doubt if they were battling with them,
smell, the sweet sickening smell of rotten human flesh. And they would come over the hill, and there they were, and as little boys they would tremble at what they might see, but they were given a job. And the fear that lied with them of not knowing was greater than the fear of seeing their brother on the battlefield. And as they come and they looked amongst the dead, oh, they weren't looking at faces, for their faces had been disfigured. But they were looking for a familiar, a piece of garment. They were looking for maybe a familiar a sandal, as it were, a familiar staff, maybe a familiar sword that their brother would carry amongst all the dead. And when they would find it, they would turn and they'd go and they would tell their father. And there was a lot of families. Though the father would think that he could not make the journey, they would gather up what he could. If he was not wealthy enough to get on a horse or own one, he would make plans, and his wife no doubt would say, "You're not up for the journey." He'd say, "Oh no, not a beast of the field, or he is turning the flesh for my son. I must go bury him." And he would go and he would force himself to give his son a burial, a son that had despised him, a son that had mocked him with his eye. And yet the love of a father would want to take care of his son even in his death. Well, I want to tell you, once we die, it don't matter if the coyotes drag me off, if I burn to death here in this life, it does not matter. Aren't you glad there was many a Christian during the Reformation that was burned at the stake, that once they passed out from the awful pain, from the great smoke, from the fires, that they would never feel another a tinge of pain from a flame ever again. I'm thankful that the Lord has promised His children a place of paradise, not one that is perverted by man, as it is with the Muslim, but one that is truly a place of paradise, where a son can sit at the feet of his father. I want to tell you, there's something to be had about gathering around those of like compassion, of like passions rather. Listen to me. The Bible says to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I'm looking forward to a day where I can go somewhere where you begin to tell people how the cost of wickedness is. They almost look at you, as it were, with a mocking eye. I wonder if this lady that they found this week, if you'd have told her, "Listen, if you don't change your life, if you don't get off of those drugs, you're going to die one day." If she'd not maybe look at you with a mocking eye and say, "Wait a minute, I'm amongst friends. They care for me. They buy me these things when I don't even have the money." Little would she know that they would bury her one day. We don't know the details of her death, whether it was in malice or not, but we've heard that her boyfriend has retained counsel. Why is that? Because the details of it all don't look good, does it not? But listen to me now. The Lord would have us to fear Him and to hate evil because of the same reason that He hates sin. Because sin brings sorrow, but in the end, sin brings death, and it brings pain to those that love them that would perish. So then, what was the greatest thing that my mother ever done for me? As we think about it this Mother's Day, and I would have to say that it was not that she prayed for me,
when I was out in sin, though that was a wonderful thing indeed. But the fact that I could hear her through closed doors and through a wall, that her motivation was not out of some kind of responsibility, that she felt some kind of responsibility to pray for her son. But it was because she feared the Lord and she knew the consequences of sin. And that's what caused her voice to raise. That's what caused those tears to be shed. Listen to me. Are we doing that for our children today? Do we truly fear the Lord? Do they see us, as it were, hating evil? Or do they see us too many times using it as a source of entertainment? Are we living in a world today where everything on the television? We come in late last night, and they after the news, they had a program. They come on a sitcom, and it's just one joke right after another of wickedness, and people laughing at it. And if they could only see. I guess some man, I don't know, he's probably supposed to be in his 40s. Or at least I know he is. That he lives a wild and a free life. A man with many girlfriends and many one-night stands. And he's always joking around, I guess, with his nephew all about it. But listen, if they feared the Lord and they hated evil, they would understand that a life like that is not spent. Now listen to me. It's not spent in comfort in its last days. I think they said that teenage girls today, 1 in 10, have a kind of venereal disease. Teenager. Think about that. When I was a teenager, I hadn't even hardly begun living my life. I take that same generation when they're 30. How many will it be at 30? I've heard now that there are some independent women that say that a woman is that when she sets out, this one particular woman, that a woman gets married not for three reasons but three times. The first one for love, the second one for what's the word I'm looking for prominence, for wealth, as it were. And the third one for companionship. Isn't that sad? I guess that first one for love, they must be talking about that puppy love, you know, infatuation that soon disappears and then makes a smart business decision to marry up. But that wouldn't last either. And then in their old age for companionship. But listen to me. A life that is misspent is a life full of many woes. And it's just the fact of the matter that people that live a wicked life so many times become bitter. And there is no joy. How many people do we know that is wealthy but yet they still hunger within them? And is it not because they at a young age did not fear the Lord and hate evil? You know, I can remember when I turned my back on the Lord for those 3 months. I was raised in a home that there were so many things. Now, the world today, the church world today, would fear and have to make a clarification. When you said that you're to hate evil, they would feel the need to say that, but we must love the sinner. They just feel that is so vitally important. And why is that? Because we live in a culture today that the sins have become, as it were, so vile that a lot of times it's hard, isn't it? Is it not? To separate the sin from the sinner. You know, there are certain relatives, no doubt, that each and every one of us has, that we dearly love, but because their life has become so interwoven with sin, even though that we are to hate the sin and love the sinner, that we must abstain from both because of the negative consequences that it might present us. But I can remember growing up and seeing, for instance, what alcohol can do to a family. And that in such a short period of time, that Daryl himself began to partake in that. And that hatred that I had for sin, now I had for myself. A self-loathing as it was of, look at what you have become, Daryl. You're no better than so many that were born in ignorance. And here you were born in a family that taught you all about God. And it just as the prodigal son come to himself standing there feeding the hogs, I too come to myself and realize that what the Lord had to offer was greater than the heartache that the devil could only bring. If you're struggling today with the fleshly desires of man, might I challenge you that you might reach down with inside you and fear the Lord. Let's get some song to sing. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, I don't know why anybody, we was talking about it at work, why would anybody do that math? One fellow said, boy, it must be a really good high, because if you see what those people look like after a few years doing it. You know, and I said, well, I'm sure they lie to themselves and they'll say, I'll just do it one time. And with each and every new time, they say, just one more time. I don't see it as often as I used to, but I'd go into Walmart when I worked nights. I'd go into Walmart late at night. And I would see women in there that were by no means pretty, but you could look at them and see that at one time that they were women that no doubt were a whole lot better looking, and some, yes, even pretty. I can remember at one particular time I was looking at a magazine, and there just sometimes, you know, when you get off of work, when you get off of work early, just work 8 hours and you're used to working 12, you just don't feel like going to bed right off. So I'd go and I'd look at some gun magazines or hunting magazines on the magazine rack there at Walmart. And I can remember flipping through some of them, and I don't know, it was almost like she appeared. I don't know if she's there when I first walked up, or if I was just looking at the magazine and it didn't come. But she came down and she had sat right down there on the shelf where the magazines were. I didn't give no thought of it, and I was looking, and I looked over at her, and she had a magazine, and she's shaking her head. And a little bit more time went by, and I seen her there, and she was picking at herself. Like she had something on her. There's the magazine and was twitching. I looked at her and she looked at me. And I said to myself, why? Why would anybody do that to themselves? It's because they don't fear the Lord. And that they don't hate evil. And that could be me or you. We are so blessed with the opportunities that we've been given. Let us not cast them aside. And young people in this church, may we never look at those that have been loved, though none of us are perfect, but in love, has tried in their feeble way to instruct us in the ways of righteousness. May we never look at them with a mocking eye. Because we might end up like that soul.
out in the wilderness
with the fowls of the air tearing in our flesh. Or we might end up like that girl, 3 miles from our house, buried in Dale Griffin's field in a shallow grave. Not that the coyotes or the dogs dug up and scattered her bones. Here in the United States of America in 2008, just across the way from those she considered to be her friends. Let's get some song to sing. Sometimes we think we know better than our parents. I know when I was a teenager and my dad wasn't going to church that I thought that I knew more than my father. But you know what? I didn't know more than my Heavenly Father. And there were some things that I thought that I hated and I scorned. But it is true, the Lord wants us to hate evil. But He wants us to love the sinner. Sometimes that's hard to do. Oh, with some people who's just let sin run wild in them. Sometimes all we can do is stand off from a distance and tell them that we love them and that Jesus died for them. I ask each and every one of you that you'd pray for me, and I'll be faithful to pray for you.